Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Kevin Porter Jr. milking the clock, ISOing up top. Now working on Neto. He'll dance. He'll step. He'll shoot. And he hits it at the buzzer. No time left. And the Rockets have won the game.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Welcome in, everybody, and you heard it. Last night, the Rockets win at 114-111 on Kevin Porter Jr.'s three-point shot to win it. Just a few seconds left, and the Rockets go on to win it 114-111. But man, oh man, oh man, what a week it has been for Kevin Porter Jr., for the Rockets. Christian Wood led them in scoring, and Kevin Porter Jr. hits the game winner. So what a great way for them to get out of this mess, I would say. I think this is it couldn't have been a better way for them to get back with the team. And did you see how the team jumped on them afterwards?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the team felt all in. Even Christian Wood, didn't even go to the locker room and throw his shirt down.
He didn't pout at all.
He, seemed to be genuinely pleased with the win.
Yeah, that was,
he appeared to be genuinely pleased with winning a game for the Rockets.
So that's nice, though. I mean, and if...
It is a good way to... I want the guys to win. That was a good win. Porter didn't play particularly well. I mean, he didn't shoot the ball well. He's 3 of 13. He was okay. He was active. I thought he was relatively active. Jalen Green had a good game.
Yeah.
And Christian Wood had, but Christian Wood did what he does, which is he's the best player on the team.
Yeah.
Right at this juncture.
Yeah, and he had a nice plus minus. Listen, but we've heard a couple of guys, Steven Silas and the general manager of the Cavs, both say Kevin Porter Jr. is a good kid. He's a really good kid. Maybe he's immature. There's talk about him having some kind of mental health issues. I could certainly...
Well, he has impulsive behavior.
I could
certainly... I have a son who has very impulsive behavior. It is what it is, too. I mean, it is what it is. It's hard to control.
He lets his emotions get the best of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say somebody's emotional or they're hot-headed or Bill O'Brien, you call him a masshole. But it's all the same thing. You can't control that. It clicks quick.
Yeah.
And when it does... And for people like that, because like I said, I have to deal with it. It's not easy because they don't necessarily want it to be like that.
No.
They don't try to make it like that.
Absolutely not.
That's how it is inside.
Yeah. There's an explosive inside that they just can't control.
But you also have a team to run, and it doesn't mean that you just have to sit and wait for it forever to clear up, because if it's going to be detrimental, it's detrimental. If they can find a way to work on it, the kid has a lot of talent.
If in fact he is going to be here long term, I still
don't believe that.
Regardless
of what happened last night.
Right. Now, I've said it before. I mean, yesterday we were talking about it, and I said, I think he's going to be around. I think that Steven Silas wants to work. I think that maybe they're going to be able, at some point, he's going to be able to control his emotions. At some point, apparently they really like him in the organization. We haven't heard Steven Silas say, oh, yeah, that Christian Wood, what a great kid. No, we haven't heard that, but we have heard
of Porter,
But we have heard it about Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah.
So maybe they do like him. Maybe they do think that they can work with him. Maybe they do think that he's going to mature or be able to control that explosive device that's inside of him. I do know this. They handled it. If they do want Kevin Porter Jr. around, they handled it pretty well. He said after the game how he appreciates Steven Silas.
It means the world, man. That just means he's behind me. And I don't ever got to question that. He's always been behind me since I stepped foot in this organization. And he made it clear that that's the way it's going to be with our relationship. And he know full force that I'm behind him. And I 100% got his back through everything. So
now keep in mind, there may have been a little good cop, bad cop going on here, too. because the bad cop who he doesn't mention is John Lucas.
Yeah.
And Luke did what a head coach kind of has to do, and maybe to maintain that type of loyalty from Kevin Porter Jr., that type of relationship, Luke needs, and hopefully nothing happens with Luke, because maybe you need somebody like John Lucas who has to do the dirty work and being the guy to hold guys accountable. I don't know if that's a little bit of an unusual scenario and setup, but this is a young team. Younger players are different now, and maybe you have to have somebody who's kind of bad cop on that team that has to take, you know what I mean, who has to do that, and Steven Silas has to be, you know, the friendship coach. Who knows?
Yeah.
Because you see, he had my back. You know, he got to come out in good cop, and hey, I believe in him. You say the positive things. So maybe that's beneficial.
Yeah. We didn't see him hugging John Lucas.
No.
But apparently the two of them, Steven Silas and Kevin Porter Jr., hugged after the game. Here's both of them talking about the celebratory hug afterwards.
It was a moment for us too. Coach Silas, like, he mean everything to me, and we mean everything to him. So like a game like this happened, especially after what we've been going through, like it's hugs and love is all you can give, man. And we shared a moment, and we just gotta keep growing, creating that point guard and head coaches kind of relationship, so I can be an extension of him on the court. And that's pretty much it.
Steven, what was the embrace like with Kevin?
It was great. It was great. It was, you know, there's times where you want to hug a guy like that. and that was the perfect opportunity. So I probably would have hugged him that way, make or miss. But it was really, really a good moment. One of the best moments of the year.
That was an uncomfortable answer to the question. It's just times you want to hug a guy like that. Probably would have hugged him that way, make or miss. Sometimes it feels good. Did you ever?
No, that's not what he meant. What he meant was.
Did you see when Larry David got the hug in this last Larry David?
He led in with the pelvis?
Yeah, the pelvis. And Larry goes,
hey.
It touched. It touched. You don't hug. Everyone knows you hug with chest first. You lean back. You create the separation of the groin. You know, there's rules to this.
There are rules.
There's rules to the engagement.
Oh, yeah, you always lean in. Yeah. You don't know. Well, I don't know.
I mean, an NBA hug is different. Maybe a game-winning hug is different.
Yeah.
I've had in my life two game winners. I remember it kind of being like, you know, hey. Because one was like in kind of a church league that I didn't go to this church league, but I was asked to play in it. And I had a half court shot to win.
What kind of church was it?
And then
the kind of pelvis hug first?
I think fairly conservative. Well, it was a church.
It was a church.
Okay. So it was not a pelvis. That's what I'm saying. It was a, hey, let's keep our distance. Okay. You know, high five. Brad Hopkins was in that league, actually. Former Oiler/Titan tackle. Yeah. But I've had some good, you know, I've had some good hugs on the basketball court when you win or when you do well.
When somebody else makes one or you know, when you win a game, whatever, you hug.
Sure.
But you always got to lean in. You got to lean in chest first. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like I said, there's protocol.
There's also a bit of a controversy going on with the game winner as well.
I don't know.
Man, this is.
You don't have the sound.
We have the sound.
Oh,
so here is the Wizards call of the game-winning shot by Kevin Porter Jr. Oh, this is just, okay. So it's not the game-winning shot. This is afterwards. Here is what Glenn Consor is the Wizards color commentator, and here's what he had to say.
What a well-designed play. And you got to give credit, Kevin Porter Jr., like his dad, pulled that trigger right at the right time. Boy, that one stung.
So, I have to believe he doesn't know what he said. Kevin Porter Jr.
Play that again.
Play it again. Here, I have to believe he doesn't know what he said.
I want to hear the, because it. It didn't feel like it was a slam. Let me hear it again.
What a well-designed play. And you got to give credit. Kevin Porter Jr., like his dad, pulled that trigger right at the right time.
So now one of the things that he was talking about is Kevin Porter Jr. actually was being guarded by someone, and he the switch off was he wanted Raul Neto on him, who he could shoot over, and it's exactly what happened. Kevin Porter Jr. made the shot, and Glenn Consor said he pulled the like his dad, he pulled the trigger.
So there is Kevin Porter led the league in assists. In 4 of the years he played in the NBA, he was a point guard at St. Francis. He played for Baltimore Capital, Washington Bullets, Detroit Pistons, New Jersey Nets. So he played in Washington for the Bullets.
Well, that was Kevin Porter.
Yeah.
He was a third-round pick, four-time leader in assists, 29 assists in one game, only player with a 30-25 game.
That's Kevin Porter.
Kevin Porter Jr.'s dad actually killed someone and spent 4.5 years in prison and then was killed in a bar fight, actually shot 5 times in a bar fight when Kevin was just 4 years old.
Yeah, he was helping somebody apparently.
And
got shot 5 times. I understand the mistake there. You're a Washington Wizards commentator. You maybe are from the area, play for the team. Kevin Porter played for Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely an easy mistake to make. A basketball player, you feel like, oh, this is in a... Because we're seeing this more and more where you have former athletes have their kids playing. Totally understandable mistake. However, that's one you don't want to make.
That is a bad, bad, bad mistake made by Glenn Consor. If, in fact, I have to believe he thought it was Kevin Porter, the basketball player.
100%.
As opposed to
a Washington
Kevin Porter.
A Washington Bullet Kevin Porter.
Yes.
Who, 100% that was what he thought.
Yeah.
But that's an unfortunate mistake.
That is a bad mistake made by Glenn Consor because Kevin Porter Jr.'s father actually killed someone with a gun, pulled the trigger. And so that is actually not what... Now, there's a... Like on Dream Chase, Wizards broadcaster makes shocking reference to Kevin Porter Jr.'s late father on game-winning shot. I mean, come on. Jeremy Brenner wrote this story. And Jeremy, he says later in it, I certainly hope, Jeremy Brenner or whatever his name is, I feel like it's possible this is who the announcer thinks KPJ's dad is. Otherwise, he's a brazen maniac. You have to believe come on.
It's 100%.
There was zero chance.
If you had to bet your life on it, which side would you bet?
Oh, that he thought Kevin Porter was his dad. The basketball player was his dad. Yeah, I mean,
Consor has more than 20 years of experience in the broadcast industry, including 22 years with the Wizards, formerly the Bullets. During that time, has combined his knowledge for college and professional basketball for NBA TV as well. 22 years with that organization. Yes, he thought Kevin Porter, who's probably... Well, I don't know if Kevin Porter's alive still or not.
Well, Kevin Porter would have been playing when Glenn Consor was there.
No. Porter was done in the mid-80s. He came in 72.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he would have been done. Okay. But he could have been back at functions, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like in the organization. That's all that is.
Well, you would think, though, that he would find that out. If Kevin Porter Jr. showed up at the you would think that he would find that out.
Well, maybe
he just assumed it all this time.
Maybe he said something one time and said, hey, I hear your son's turned into a great player. Maybe Kevin Porter has a son. He's like,
he's all right.
Plays at St. Francis.
Well, Kevin,
you know, 8 points a game, 5. Yeah, he's doing fine.
Yeah.
He's doing fine. Well, I mean, more than fine, I'd say.
Well, Kevin Porter, if he played in the 80s, his son would probably be about 30-something right now, maybe.
Yeah, Kevin Porter's 50, I want to say.
50, and yeah, I guess that.
So it's possible. Yeah. No, he's not. He was born in... No, he's not. Oh. He was born in 50.
Oh,
yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your grandson is really playing well.
Well, that wouldn't be... He should have said then his grandfather pulled the trigger like his grandfather.
Yeah.
Anyway, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Dream Shake does a great job, But to just assume that that was, I mean, you have to use some common sense. There's zero chance.
No.
I think zero chance that Glenn Consort was making a reference to Kevin Porter Jr.'s late father. So anyway, that really did raise some eyebrows. But come on, let's use some common sense here. 714 ESPN. Glenn Consort is going to come out today and say, I thought it was Kevin Porter, the basketball
yeah,
player.
Yeah, it'll come out.
Yeah, yeah. All right, right now, I'm talking about my people over at Chastang Ford. I love those people over there because I really believe in this business, because I've spoken countless times to Patrick and Allie and Justin and Tony and all of the people over there. I was over there for Christmas, and I said, well, what's the message? And they said, the message is get it the way that you want and promise. We promise that we're not going to add anything on. And again, we're going to get you where your payments have to be. And, you know, everybody talks about what a tough time this is in the car industry. It actually can't be better. You order the vehicle, and you get it exactly the way you want, not what the dealer has put together for you, the packages that they put together, and you get to choose this package or that package or this package. No, you get to choose everything in that vehicle the way that you want it. That's perfect, because it's only what you want, not what the dealership has put on. Maybe you didn't want that sunroof, but this package comes with the sunroof, so you got to take it, or the bed liner or the leather or whatever it is that you're looking for. Make it exactly how you want it and get it at the price you want it, with rebates that you're not getting from other dealerships. They're the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston. Let's make them the number one retailer in the city of Houston as well. Go to ChastangFord.com or get there. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Go see my good friends at Chastang Ford.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You didn't hear us yesterday. The Houston Texans, Nick Caserio, talked about what a great fan, how great the fans were. How unbelievable, how loud it was in the building, how they responded to this team, what a great experience, how emotional this city is for this Houston Texans team. And just a day later,
yeah,
they came out with huge discounts on season tickets next year.
Mm.
Well, and usually, you know, when there's a fervor for something, you know, well, let's put it on sale right away, okay? Let's give discounts right away because everybody is clamoring for something. You really, really, that's how economics works, Lance. When there's a big demand for something, huge demand for something, now let's lower the price, right? That's what always happens, right? Huge, that's
typically what you see in economics class.
No, this is different.
There is a supply and demand here at work.
Mm-hmm.
When the supply side's high and the demand is low, prices have to drop.
Yeah,
when the supply is low and the demand is high, like let's say Astros tickets,
yeah,
it went the other way.
It sure did.
And so my friends at Simple Seats, they've got some really low prices this week for your Texans tickets.
I saw that they sent me an email
like, "Zone, hey, get to the Texans game, stand on the sideline for $15. You want to get a rep on a kickoff?
You can
$40. You can
play.
You
want to be on the chain gang? You can be. You're in. All right. You want to work the chains for the game? And there's loyalty rewarded, which I'm not sure that they're really going to lose much money on this loyalty rewarded thing. If you've been, I was a season ticket holder since the inception. I got out this year, but they're lowering it. 15 plus years, you get 15% off. 10 to 14 years, 12% off. They got reduced pricing for 2022 season. You got extended payment plans. You can pay us when you want. you got exclusive season ticket member apparel. You're also getting 10% off game day concessions, 30% off Texans team shop. Not many people buying a lot of Texans gear, apparently. You're getting 30% off right now. It's a shame where it's gone. I feel kind of bad for Greg Grissom because, you know, for all those years Jamie Roots was the president, they sold out every single game. They really never had issues whatsoever with tickets. You know, I know people that have, that are lifers in the organization, in the ticket office and whatnot, and it's just, it just is a different world for them. They've never experienced this before. They've never experienced where, hey, we really need to, like, advertise for season tickets. We really need to advertise for people to go to this game. We have to advertise for people to show up. And some of the, you know, it's some of the, some of the advertising is still the same, you know, the greatest tailgate experience in the NFL, the game day experience, which is second to none. It really is second to none, only not in a good way.
So I hate to break in, but I actually saw this morning while I'm doing my show prep, because, you know, I have SportsCenter on in the background while I'm getting everything ready for the morning. Wendy's is doing a special, apparently, where if you call in and you order breakfast, they're making you a deal if you, because they're trying this new delivery thing. So let's call into Wendy's real quick and see what kind of deal that they're going to make us. Let's see.
So you get, at Wendy's, you get a breakfast deal?
Yeah, they're making some new deal to promote the fact that they're doing deal delivery by phone. Like, if you call like in, Wendy's rather than ordering breakfast? On an app.
I didn't even know this.
Yeah, they do.
Good morning, this is Wendy's.
Hey, how are you? Hey, you got breakfast this morning?
Yes, can I take your order, please?
Yeah, do you make Eggs Benedict?
Hold on.
Dion! Right through!
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you make Eggs Benedict?
No, we do not.
Oh. What kind? I don't know anything about Wendy's breakfast. What kind of breakfast sandwich do you have?
Basic egg, ham, cheese, sausage. We've got that any breakfast form. We've got it in sandwich. We've got plates. We've got toast sticks. We've got coffee. We've got orange juice. Whatever you'd like, we can get that for you.
All right, I'll call you back. Thank you.
Can you place your order?
Can I get one of those croissants with bacon and egg?
Yes. Would you like a number two?
Yeah.
Okay.
I need a large coffee, too.
Creamer?
No, just black coffee.
Is this for delivery or pickup?
Yeah, delivery.
Okay. And anything else?
That's it. No. Thank you.
Okay. Would you like Texans tickets with that?
Some tickets? Yeah.
It's free.
Like for Sunday's game?
Yeah, would you like Texans tickets for this Sunday?
Wait a minute. If I order breakfast, I get free Texans tickets?
Yes, you get eight.
Is that per meal?
Per meal?
That's per person, yes. How many people are ordering here?
I mean, we might order a couple more sandwiches then.
Yeah, no, actually, that's all we want. We can't get rid of those eight, okay? There's that zero chance that we can get rid of eight tickets ever for the Houston Texans, but thank you.
No, it's not eight, sir. It's per person, so it's 16. I hear two voices.
No,
so
there's, no, there's only eight.
Too late.
We don't want 16.
They're yours. Pull up in parts. Pull up in spot two. They're yours. Too late.
You might have informed me that that's what we were doing.
I didn't know how. I was just told.
He might have told me. He might have told me that that's what we were doing.
That's heartbreaking. You just got stuck with 16 tickets.
16 tickets. I don't.
You couldn't even sell yours.
I can't sell my two.
People can't even sell their ones.
We'll try to give them away later in the show.
Oh. That is.
Just... All right. Whoever calls next gets 16 tickets. First caller.
You guys might have told me we were going to
I don't think you probably should have said that part on air because now, you know, obligations and stuff. But
I don't see any calls.
Does Wendy's have a deal with the Texans?
They do now.
Anyway.
They better have a deal with us.
You did a good voice. I had no idea who that was.
Yeah.
Why did you guys?
Secrets.
You guys ought to let me in on these.
Just happened.
In a pre-show meeting.
It just happened.
Okay.
Didn't come up in pre-show meetings.
Okay. All right. It's Peter Burns joins us on the other side right here on ESPN.
Peter Burns is great.
Yeah, he is great. So we're going to talk to him about the SEC championship.
So, you know, he is an LSU guy.
Which is also the national championship.
Yeah. It's just SEC championship part two. I was thinking about this, like, in my heart, I got stung the first time with Georgia. In my heart, I'm like, Bill O'Brien can't win twice. But then I also remember, oh, wait, that's Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Nick Saban doesn't lose very often in championship games.
Now, does his former?
How many times has Nick Saban lost in a championship in a title game?
In the title game,
zero. Has he ever lost in a title game? He's beaten Georgia. He's beaten LSU. He's beaten Ohio. No,
he beat Ohio State at LSU when he was at LSU. He beat Ohio State. He beat Oklahoma.
When has he lost a title game? Has he ever lost?
Lost to Clemson.
Oh, that's right. Deshaun beat him.
Yeah, Deshaun.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it.
Deshaun's the only one to beat him. Can Stetson Bennett be number two? See, that's the part that I'm having a hard time with. Like, I get through this game in my head and I say, hey, this is Georgia. I can see Stetson Bennett beating Nick Saban. And then when I have to say that out loud, I'm like, oh, can I? I can't just watch it for fun, right? You got to have something going.
Let's take one here, and we'll talk to Peter Burns about it on the other side right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I know where you can bet on it right now. You can bet on it at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, promo
code. What's the number?
Bet975.
UGA is you're going to get an underdog the second time with Alabama.
It was one, and now it's three. The number is three. So
Georgia three.
Georgia is three. Oh, so if you're – oh, now it's down to two, Georgia two. It started at one. It went to three. Now it's at two. So here's the deal, is you can get it right now at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. And oh, by the way, you can also refer a friend, you refer anybody. Every single time you refer someone and they make their deposit, you get $250, okay? I think they have to deposit up at least $250, but you're going to benefit from it. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors, go to MyBookie and make sure that they put it in there that you're the one that referred, and you get $250 free to play with. All you got to do is go to MyBookie, and they do it all the time. There's all kinds of – it's unbelievable. I don't know. There's no bookies that actually do this where you get free plays all the time at MyBookie. This happens and happens and happens all the time. So if you're looking for the best way to play, win and get paid, and all kinds of freak plays. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Old friend of the show, Peter Burns, SEC Network, joining us here.
Team Infinity Knives.
To talk about the big game and talk about...
And Moneymaker Mike!
All with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Peter, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Moneymaker Mike. I'm excited, man. We got a good little ball game coming on. Although I think the rest of the country hates us because it's all SEC versus SEC, right?
What did you think when everybody? Oh, look at the SEC on four. It just means more. Everybody was doing it.
It does. Apparently,
it means more when we care about the bowl games. That's the thing. Like when the SEC loses a bowl game, it's because we didn't care about it, and when we win it, it's because that's the one we really wanted to win. Like the revisionist history is always fantastic over here. Like I get it. I'm state propaganda. I got no problem with it.
Yeah.
Whatever. University of Houston kicked Auburn's ass. Just so you know, Peter. Okay. And they cared. Auburn cared.
Well, what was left of them?
Well, right. What was left of Houston, too, though?
Yeah.
Hey, no, the best players aside, though, I do think there's something. I joke around about making an excuse for the SEC, but you know, in the world of bowl games and guys opting out and whatnot, I think everybody's looking for their motivation, and it's no different than you know when the Rockets had won the titles back in the days, and everybody wanted to face them, right? Or when the Astros, after you know the whole you know garbage can gate and stuff like that, people wanted to beat the Astros, like. Everybody wants to beat the champ, and everybody has that option to, hey, if you're playing an SEC team, this is what you get up for. Like, sometimes the bowl season, nobody wants to – some of these kids don't want to play in it. You got to have this extra little oomph, and to beat an SEC team like the way Houston did, that was awesome. And those kids will remember that forever, and that's great for the league.
I think that – you know, it's interesting. I think this year more – and this is not the best Alabama team we've seen. As a matter of fact, I would argue it's one of the lesser teams that's ever played in a title game. It's a good Georgia team, but not quite, you know, they still haven't gotten to that. They're actually in the Alabama spot before Alabama was getting these high-end quarterbacks. This is what the Georgia team is like. with some of the quarterbacks like A.J. McCarron. That's kind of where Georgia is right now, but everybody else is good on the team. This year was pretty – I thought it was interesting because when Ohio State's in the Final Four, when Clemson's in the Final Four, you're seeing a lot of NFL players, and they feel like they belong on that stage from a physical standpoint. And, you know, I thought what was very telling was that people came away from the Georgia and Cincinnati games and just said, whoo, like there was a big difference in the players on the other side, you know, on Georgia and then on Alabama versus Cincinnati and Michigan. It was more telling because of those matchups, it felt like, this year than maybe in some of the years past with some of the teams that we've seen that are, you know, in the constants in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. And I mean, I think when it comes down to it, that's what happens, Lance, you know, as you scout these guys, is when if you got one team that has, you know, 15 NFL, you know, future players at some point, whether it's this year or in 2 years, versus a team that might have three or four, well, guess what? Talent's going to win. And, oh, by the way, it's not like the coaches are slouches as well. I mean, hell, right. You got Bill O'Brien, who's like an offensive coordinator that you know, puts this thing on cruise control. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I think that's why the College Football Playoff Committee is sitting there kind of looking at this going, all right, if we expand the College Football Playoff, does that mean more teams like Iowa State or Kentucky or somebody else is that going to actually win it? Or are we just going to try to get more teams involved and maybe some of these recruits don't go always to Alabama or Ohio State or Clemson because they feel like that's the only place that they could compete for a college football playoff spot? So I think that's one of the interesting things that I think needs to have college football playoff expansion, not because new teams will win it. It's just to let more teams have that opportunity to say, hey, we had a great run, mm-hmm. and we were in the playoff 1 year.
Expands the discussion. Well,
I don't get why these other teams, why the Pac-12, who never gets in, why the Big 12, who always struggles to get into the
playoff, well,
why
they wouldn't, gets in all the time.
They should be thrilled to be a part of this. But thing, Oklahoma just so they gets could say
in.
They're in it.
The Oklahoma, I should have mentioned
Oklahoma's
them.
Oklahoma's out, though. Oklahoma's going to the SEC.
Well, now. But Oklahoma's one of those teams with Ohio State and Clemson.
No, right, but they're not going to be there anymore. So if I'm Oklahoma State, if I'm all of these schools, I'm saying, you know what? At least I get a chance if we
expand. It's also a diversionary tactic in a way, too, because it takes the – like, these are bad games. Frankly, these were bad games. There were mismatches. And if you have a matchup, if you expand it, the games are more competitive. Like, it's kind of – you don't say, boy, those are blowouts. You say, hey, what about that matchup
or
that matchup?
Ohio State and Utah would have been a playoff game.
Yeah.
It would have been a playoff game this year.
Like, yeah, Rose Bowl, and then all of a sudden you wouldn't have had 20 players opt out at Ohio State, right? I mean, you know, you'd have it a little bit different. I think the end play, and this is my theory, is that the Pac-12 and all the alliance members, ultimately what they want to do, in my opinion, is they want to cut the group of five teams out. They want to say, instead of us all getting at the table and all agreeing on expanding the playoff now, let's wait until the contract expires in 2026. And then at that point, let's just say, you know what? The big boys can play big boy college football. We'll all split that up. Then we'll open up the playoff a little bit more, but we're not going to include group of five teams. I firmly believe that's the case, that they're trying to wait, and they rather shoot themselves in the foot now and miss playoffs because they feel like when the money's bigger in 2026, they won't have to possibly split that with group of five conferences, and therefore they've done the math and they can make more money that way.
Peter Burns, SEC Networks, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, Oklahoma, and we saw Texas this year. They're a mess. Oklahoma's a mess. Peter, I thought that they were going to get this done this offseason because, you know, you're lame duck going through the Big 12 from this point on. But you know what? This thing could last till 2025.
And honestly, guys, my gut feeling in talking to people kind of, you know, around everything, but not only from the SEC, but just from Oklahoma and Texas people as well, too, they're no longer in a rush. Like, I know Oklahoma fans, when they had Lincoln Riley, they were like, boom, let's go. We got Caleb Williams. We can compete right here, right now in the SEC. And I think at that point, they looked at this and go, wait a minute. The Big 12 is a little bit easier. Let's have a little bit more time for, you know, Venables to get his feet underneath him. Same thing with Sark. Like, there's no way. After Sark in Texas got absolutely demolished by Arkansas, they're like, wait a minute, Arkansas is like the fifth best team in this conference, maybe. And all of a sudden, we just got absolutely pummeled. Like, we should probably stick here in the Big 12 until we can recruit the guys, and maybe more importantly, until we can use name, image, and likeness rules to really kind of beef up what Texas football should be. Give them two more years, NIL rules, all of a sudden, hey, then they can compete with the rest of the contenders in the SEC.
You know, though, you know, the same thought was with Texas A&M. Texas A&M was a middle-of-the-road team in the Big 12. It's different now when you walk into Holmes, though, and say, we are in the SEC, and you get different kids. And that'll happen for Oklahoma and Texas, too.
Yeah, it will, but A&M was smart that they got a chance to get an 8-year head start on that, which built the foundation. Obviously, the house that Johnny built. And I'll tell you what, oil money is good money. And, you know, Texas for the longest time did pretty good with it. And Texas A&M has found a bunch of money. And I'm not sure if there's another team, maybe outside of Alabama, that does better when it comes to name, image, and likeness and how they're going to kind of, you know, align themselves with players down the road than Texas A&M. Look at the recruiting class that they had. Not only because Jimbo is great and the facilities are good and the SEC, it's also because these guys are going to get some great name, image, and likeness deals. I don't know if that's great for the ultimate game. I mean, it's great for the players, but at the end of the day, I make a living talking off college athletics. How can I say kids shouldn't be able to make a couple of dollars if I'm making dollars off them?
See, as someone who has lived in San Antonio and you've spent time in Texas, we're in school here as well. Do you think ultimately that's good for Texas and Oklahoma and good for college football, the move?
I actually think Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, it'll help SEC as an overall whole, right? I mean, more people will care about it and you'll get bigger deals and you'll get more people watching. I think what ultimately happens is that the SEC becomes so competitive that it could help the other conferences in college football. And what I mean by that is, you know, think about the NFL. And, you know, it feels like every single division is, hey, a bunch of 8-8 teams, right? Like, you had a couple of Chiefs and Packers in there, but everybody is kind of, you know, regresses to the mean. And I think that's what's going to happen in the SEC, is that you're going to have the Leeches, you're going to have the Lane Kiffins, you're going to have the Texas and Oklahomas. They're all going to be pretty damn good. And on any given Saturday, they could beat up on each other. And so, you know, the idea of it being so top-heavy, I don't think that's going to happen. And I think there's going to be a lot more parity in the SEC once you add Texas and Oklahoma a couple years down the road.
Do we know for sure we're having the 14 pods in the SEC?
I hope. That's what I pitched. I mean, literally, when I found out A&M was coming, the first thing I did on my show was say, hey, here's the pod system, how I would run it. And I had Commissioner Sankey look at me, and he goes, "Are you, you know," like he wanted to slap me upside the head because he was like, "We're not ready for any of these discussions."
I loved it. I loved what you put out
there. Yeah, no, no.
I thought the pod stuff looked great.
Yeah.
It's not fair that one team only plays. You know, like Tennessee has to play Alabama every single year.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, at some point, you need to. Every time a kid plays for 4 years, they should play a home game and an away game versus every other opponent in the SEC. And until you do that, you're not going to be fair or equitable to everybody in the schedule. I mean, somebody's always going to want to play Vandy, boys. I mean, that's the reality of it. It's not fair the same team gets to play them every single year.
Yeah. No, that won't happen, though. Our producers, like Texas and A&M, have to be in the same pod. They don't want to be. Texas A&M hasn't wanted anything to do with Texas in the SEC. So I could certainly see Texas and Oklahoma and whatever being in that same pod. But Texas A&M doesn't want any part of that. They'll play every other year, and you get them every 4 years at your home, and it'll make it a huge, huge deal if it does work out that way.
I'd argue, guys, that playing somebody every other year makes it feel bigger. I mean, think about, like, the Ryder Cup. Like, it's built up and that pent-up aggression. Like, just because you get it every year doesn't mean it's great every year.
No, right. Okay, so, I mean, so the first time these two met, Alabama – whoop that
it's
ass.
It's Georgia. It's Georgia. Georgia's winning this thing. They're top to bottom. They're better. They're pissed off. They're a better defensive team. Like, going through, and everybody I talked to Georgia, they were so upset after watching the Alabama game film, because it was like, these are things we knew that was coming, and we weren't aggressive enough. And I when I talked to Kirby a couple days ago, it's kind of that little smirk and smile. It's like, we are going to be aggressive. We're going at them. And when you're aggressive against Bryce Young, go back and look at all the games this year. He has struggled, and they had two big offensive line injuries in that game against Cincinnati, which I think changes that game. I think it's Georgia getting ready of the demons of the last 40 years without a title.
So Stetson Bennett is not going to be quarterbacking, is what you're saying. That's what you said?
I will tell you this. when he wins the title, and I think he does on Monday, that it will be one of the greatest stories ever. And it won't get the love because it's not like, you know, Loyola Chicago or Richmond Spiders and the Cinderella story. But this kid was a walk-on, couldn't play, went to a JUCO, then decided to walk on again. And basically they told him to go home every single time. He's like the guy at the party that shows up. And, like, he never leaves. And then everybody needs, a designated driver. And Stetson's the guy that's there. And he's basically saved this team from the quarterback disaster that they've had in the last 3 years.
Sometimes that guy's not even a designated driver. He's just, picking up the pieces at the end. And all of a sudden, before you know it, like, how did Stetson end up with her?
Well,
he was right place, right time.
How did Pete Davidson land Kim Kardashian and all these stars? Like, he was just the last guy at the party.
Right place, right time.
Or Alabama wins, kicks his ass again, and they go, well, we had the guy that we couldn't get rid of at quarterback again. That's probably why.
That's the toughest part for me, Peter, is everything says Georgia like it did the first time. But then you say Bryce Young versus Stetson Bennett. And if it turns into a battle of quarterbacks making plays, it's hard to get there with Georgia, but everything else says Georgia.
Well, and that's why I think Georgia kicks themselves that they weren't more aggressive the first time, and they let Bryce Young do his thing, and I think that's the difference. And also, it's not just Stetson versus Bryce, it's Nick versus Kirby. I mean, think about this. Kirby has played Nick 4 times, right? 4 big-time type games. Kirby has had the lead in all 4 of those, and he's 0-4. So there is this big brother, little brother mentality. And I will tell you this, the meltdown that Georgia fans will have if they lose this game will be one of just, I mean, it'll be like Buffalo Bills and Marv Levy after the 4th Super Bowl they lost in a row.
Yeah, and yet, hey, George, watch Georgia, because Kirby's doing a pretty good job over there. And guess what? Nick ain't going to be around forever. So I would just settle down. If you lose this game, you still got a great, great team and a great program right now.
It's not like this is this is the last recruiting class I ever had, and it was the last dance for them. I mean, you know, they're probably going to sign the first 6-star recruit probably here in a year or two.
Right. So you're betting against Nick in the big game.
And you're betting against
you ain't making a living doing
and
that.
And you're
brother.
Betting against your wife in the big game, who is Team Alabama and your Team LSU.
And that's the reason why I do it. I'm going to keep doubling down. You know, like when you go to Vegas and you're just continuing to bet on one thing and you're like, nah, all right, there's roulette. I mean, I figure if I keep going red every single time, sooner or later, I've got to hit.
Yeah.
I keep having to go to the ATM right now, but it's going to hit eventually.
At some point. Hey, I was at the LSU game the other night, Peter. Couldn't have been better. I got to tell you, it was,
it's so good.
It was awful. That's Peter Burns right here, the SEC Network. Great to talk to you again, Peter. We appreciate you being here.
Let's do it more often, boys. Talk to y'all soon.
All right, we'll see you.
746 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, Antonio Brown explains his side of the story. We'll do that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thank God.
Finally, we can balance this thing out.
No. It's all resolved now, so don't worry about it.
Because something completely reasonable must have happened to elicit throwing all of his clothes off and throwing him into the stands.
Yes. Okay. He's going to explain
I can't wait to find out what it is.
On the other side.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
750 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The Bucks, we all saw Antonio Brown doing jumping jacks, jogging off the field, and everything else. Well, Antonio Brown says, hold on, everybody. I didn't quit on the team. They cut me. He says he came out of the game and was on the bench, and his coach came up to me, very upset, shouted, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I told him, it's my ankle. But he knew that. It was well documented. We did discuss it. He then ordered me to get on the field. I said, coach, I can't. He didn't call for medical attention. Instead, he shouted at me, "You're done," and while he ran his finger across his throat. Coach was telling me that if I didn't play hurt, then I was done with the books. I didn't quit. I was cut. I didn't walk away from my brothers. I was thrown out. Then came the spin. He denied on national television that he knew about my ankle. That's 100% inaccurate. He goes on to talk about, you know, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, he says he went and got an MRI and that there are broken bone fragments in his ankle. And he's going to have surgery. And the Bucks are denying it. The Bucks are saying, "You didn't see our doc, blah, blah, blee, blah, blah, blee, blah, blah." He said there's a big difference between, you know, by the way, everybody saw me jogging off the field and doing jumping jacks or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between that and, you know, sprinting off a line of scrimmage and running down the field, he said. So he said, I have bone fragments. I'm getting surgery, and I'm going to be back next year. Do you think the Houston Texans should pick up Antonio Brown?
I would.
I think
you don't have the newest stuff either, do you? You have the new stuff?
No.
He's posting on his Instagram this morning.
Yeah, I've got the whole story on his Instagram.
What? Do you have these? I've got the screenshots.
Oh, I don't have screenshots.
Oh, yeah.
No.
He posted text messages. This is BA. Make sure you're ready to go tomorrow. Let me make sure he didn't post Bruce Arians' phone number. No. This is BA. Make sure you're ready to go tomorrow. We are not resting for the playoffs. This is Thursday, December 30th. And Friday, Bruce said, "Call me." And then Antonio, on later that Friday, 2 hours later, had a picture of a guy. He had a picture of a guy doing some stuff with his ankle, like, you know, looks like physical therapy or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I recognize it, trust me. And he posted that picture, and he said, and I'm just going to read this verbatim. His text was, "I'm all in, coach. Really can't. There are no periods. I'm all in, coach. Really can't get to full speed. I want to win. Want to be there. If I wake up tomorrow, feel better, I'll be ready. Kind of rolled it outside on 2-point play. I want what's best for team. Let me know when you're free. I'll call you." Then Bruce said, "Come see me. Come see me in the morning. We'll talk it out. Definitely want you with us in case you're ready." Antonio posted heart. You know, he hit the heart
emoji. He loves that.
And then said, "Coach said we never talked. Thumb a finger on mouth and chin." Emoji. And obviously this has more to do with just that. I mean, obviously Bruce Arians is clearly fed up with Antonio Brown, because this has to be more than that. This is not just, and this is something about Antonio not following the protocol with the team sets, with seeing team doctors and stuff like that. This isn't just, "Oh, I want you in the game. You're not in the game. Go." I mean, you're going to get what's posted. Do you think Bruce Arians, right before the playoffs, wants this kind of distraction, take a target away from a guy who, you know, helped to bring him in? No, I mean, clearly there's other stuff going on here that I doubt BA is going to say. I'm going to dig around and see if I can get it myself. From Tampa.
But have your dad call him, and then he's going to come on with us at the bottom of the hour here.
I'll find out. I've got ways to get in there and find out what's going on, but I guarantee it's more than that. It doesn't matter. I mean, I think you want to erase distractions, and as far as I'm concerned, Scotty Miller can handle most of the stuff from the slot that Antonio Brown can without the
hassle. Well, losing Antonio Brown, losing Chris Godwin, I mean, honestly.
Well, yeah, you're right. Godwin is a really big
one. It's huge, and Mike Evans is banged up. Yep. I mean, they're
I don't like them to win the Super Bowl this year. I mean, they're certainly not the trendy pick.
No, well, last year at this time, they were on a roll.
Yeah,
they were 7-5, and then won their last four regular season
defense,
games, and then won four. They won eight straight to win the
Super
Bowl.
Their defense was a bit of a nightmare to deal with by the end of the year. And this year, Zach Wilson's putting up points on them, and they're having to come from behind in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I feel like they just have too much working against them this year. With or without Antonio Brown, there just feels like there's too much working against them. If this isn't Aaron Rodgers' year to get number two, then he's not going to have a year with Green Bay, I don't think. Well, that's not true to say. I mean, he'll have his left tackle coming back next year. I mean, Green Bay should be really good again next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should be.
They should. Absolutely. You know Aaron Rodgers is coming back next year. I mean, that's just...
No, but I mean to Green Bay.
Right.
Is he coming back next year to Green Bay?
Well, he's got one more year.
Well, but it's an opt-out.
No. The void is after next year.
But he's got, I think they had it to where they could end the relationship next year.
Yeah, they can end the relationship next year, I think, with, as far as salary cap goes. And I don't know if there's a, there's some kind of a hand. But the thought, contractually, I think he's got one more year.
According to Ian Rappaport, the Packers and Rodgers have agreed to terms on a restructured deal. Based on reporting from Adam Schefter, the rework contract will void the 2023 season and prevent the Packers
from going. Right, 2023. He's still got 2022.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But there has got to be, the team also agreed to review the situation with Rodgers following the season.
Right.
A concession Gutekunst admitted during press conference. The new deal would expire following 2022, setting up next offseason as a crossroads of sorts for player and team. So he could retire next year if he wanted to,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And he,
if he wants to retire,
and
which he
floated it. He's floated it. I don't think there's any need for Aaron Rodgers was playing what looked like maybe, I mean, I think some of it was probably he saw Tom Brady and the second life he got where he had these advertising deals. He was having fun. He won a championship. You know, grass is greener type situation. Mm-hmm. Experience someplace in a different organization. That's probably not unusual. Hey, what's it like playing for someplace else? What's it like living in a different city? You know, what's that like? What's Mondays through Thursday like if I were living in Pittsburgh or wherever? That's not unusual for Aaron to be interested in that. But also, you know, Tom Brady has won so many times that I think he just wanted that experience away from Bill Belichick.
Yep.
He didn't want his whole career to be under Bill Belichick.
Well, and Rodgers didn't appreciate Gutekunst. I mean, I think the Jordan Love, I mean, as much as he downplayed whatever, you know, the Jordan Love pick that when he needed help at wide receiver, when he needed help on offensively, and he goes and gets a quarterback, and Gutekunst, maybe the way he was handling the whole situation, handling Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wants everybody to know that he is the franchise, and I think Gutekunst is probably playing the game a little bit better because Aaron Rodgers has said the relationship is better this year. And Gutekunst actually realized, holy crap, I better really kowtow to Aaron Rodgers. Otherwise, dude's leaving and we're going to suck. So we want to keep on winning. So let's all praise to Aaron Rodgers. And speaking of which, Aaron Rodgers spoke out about Hub Arkush. And we'll do that on the other side right here.
Hub Arkush, the one who said that he should not, that he did not vote for him for the MVP because he's a bad guy.
Right.
Aaron doesn't usually just say, you know what, I'm going to be the bigger man here. That's not really his MO.
No, and it wasn't yesterday either. We'll do it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save